The Talk of the Northwest, The Greg Hughes Show on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. 4 minutes past nine on this Thursday, the 30th of July, 2026. How are you all keeping? I do hope you are very well, and I mean that earnestly. We're in good form here at Highland Radio. We've a great show lined up for you. We've got some live music. Friends of the show, Boy M5, are making their way. They're setting up in Studio 2. We're going to hear their new track and get some live music from them. We've had them in a few times, and we love them on the show. So we're looking forward to welcoming them onto the programme. Mairéadh Ní Mhúinne is our guest on this week's The Greg Hughes podcast. And we'll have a wee preview of that for you before 10 a.m. It's a lovely chat with Mairéadh, but Mairéadh's a beautiful person. She's a wonderful person, a superb musician, and it's a real treat. It was a real treat to have a conversation with her. So looking forward to previewing that with you and telling you when you can hear the full podcast. And we're going to also connect with Hugh Harper to get his assessment of their meeting yesterday with Taoiseach Micheál Martin. Has it advanced the cause in any way, shape or form? That and so much more besides. So you can watch along, by the way, to the programme. It's streamed live on YouTube. Just search Highland Radio Ireland. You can watch on your mobile devices or your Fire Stick or your smart TV. That's what the YouTube app is for. Use it. Watch the show. We're also on Facebook as well. Just search Highland Radio and you'll see us there, as hundreds and hundreds of you do every single day across the various platforms. And we love having you on board. Let's look at the newspapers. The Tyrconnell Tribune: fishing sector hidden from EU meeting. I wanted to sort of follow up on what was happening down in Cork, and we rang a few of people in the fishing industry who would be, you know, our regular go-to people, and they weren't at the meeting. And I was like, what? So the EU Fisheries Commission is, EU Fisheries Ministers are meeting in Cork. You know, the Irish fishing industry, many feel, is on its knees, and those that represent people on the ground aren't at this meeting. I thought it strange. I'm not saying none of them are at it. It's just those that I would consider key in the cause weren't in attendance. This is what Pat the Cup Gallagher seems to have been speaking about here. He said that the first meeting of EU fisheries ministers under the Irish presidency in Cork this week saw Department of Fishery officials taking an unprecedented step to hide and obscure them from the Irish fishing processing and processing sector. Sinn Féin Marine spokesperson Patrick McLaughlin has again criticised the fact that Fisheries Minister Timmy Dooley was not leading the meeting. Pat the Cope Gallagher said that since 21, directly due to EU Commission policies, Ireland has lost €260 million of quotas, and each year there is an increased there is increased fishing in Irish waters from other EU member states. Deputy Gallagher is in the position of being a member of that government that is making these decisions, or is trying to influence them in the EU. A position of influence, you would hope. The Donegal news this morning: hidden back-to-school costs and worrying energy arrears mean under-pressure parents have never had it so hard, it's been warned. Amid the unrelenting cost-of-living crisis, and with only weeks left of the school summer holidays, the warnings have been issued by St Vincent de Paul Charity in Donegal and local politicians. They told the Donegal News that families need support and some are at breaking point. And I was reading this and I was reading other stories and it's crazy that there are so many families in this tiny country that we have, much smaller than many cities, that we're constantly told is wealthy, that we have families struggling the way they are. The rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer, and more people are becoming poor. It's absolutely crazy. How can we have a rich country and yet have people under pressure like that? You know, the services that we rely on, let me just put it to you like that. I was looking at some figures before I come on air because I'm peed off about the whole situation. AIB Group, a lot of us have mortgages with them or debt to them. €2.1 billion is their profits for last year. €2.1 billion. The ESB Group, a lot of our concerns are to do with energy crisis. Just to remind you of their profits after tax last year, €636 million. Now, we are a population, again, of 6 million. Many of them are children, okay? So you can strip that back. The company responsible for the power supply, Semi-State, €636 million in profits after tax. Aviva Insurance, we all have to have car insurance. Their operating profit last year, €64 million. That's profit, €64 million. So that's what, 10, 11, 12 euro per individual in this country. Tesco, obviously, you know, they offer value, as all of the retailers do. But their after-tax profits, now, of course, they're UK-based as well, €1.79 billion. Circle K, that's Ireland's largest fuel retailer, €6.9 million their profits were. Modest enough in the wider scale of things. Certa, this is the commercial fuel supplier. So this is where all the energy effectively comes from. Their profits for the year 2006, €532.9 million. €532.9 million. So the companies that supply the fuel that's busting our behinds, €530 million. AIB Group, the bank, €2.1 billion. You might be getting letters off them saying you're in arrears on this, that, or that. As I say, the ESB, €636 million. And then we're told that the country as a whole is wealthy. We're told that there's, you know, we're the cream of the crop in Europe. And yet, we have to read on the front of the Donegal News today that families are struggling to feed themselves in Donegal and send their children back to school. You know, the free education lol. What's going on? Why is the world so badly skewed? That's an injustice, isn't it? How do we address that? Or will we ever be able to address that, where the poor get poorer, the middle get more squeezed, but the rich, when people are struggling, the rich make more profits? What's going on? Let me know. Educate me. Maybe you're a financial expert. 086 60 25,000. 086 60 25,000. Can you imagine if all of those companies didn't make such high profits? But then again, you know, they're private entities or semi-state. Is it down to the state to make life easier for people? I don't know. Lots of questions, no answers. There's just incredible injustice and inequity, and we need to find a different way, surely, because people are struggling so, so bad. The Derry News this morning. The Court of Appeal in Dublin has upheld a Derry man's conviction for a repeated rape of a fellow soldier, rejecting his argument that the jury shouldn't have heard the victim's distressing 999 call. Keelan Mooney, 30, of Bloomfield Park, Derry, was convicted following a trial at the Central Criminal Court in December 24 of rape of this woman in Dublin, or in a Dublin hotel, on July 26th, 2021. She had an incredible ordeal, but because kids are off and what have you, I'm sparing the details. But that's no disrespect to what this woman had to endure at the hands of that person. It's not often, to be honest with you, you get someone passes and you get full front page photos on newspapers. It doesn't happen very often, but that is what's happened following the news that Glenn Hansard has died. Bono has described Glenn Hansard as the most musical and mischievous archangel of Ballymun, as tributes continue to pour in following the announcement of his death. The U2 singer said Hansard was a smiling rascal if you needed him to be. The most musical and mischievous archangel of Ballymun. Nowhere's plenty of graces. Of course, Glenn was the shining star of the Christmas Eve busk. Sometimes the only one reminding the rest of us that Christmas began with a refugee born in a manger, which is hardly a step from living in the street. That's Bono's words in relation to Glenn Hansard's passing, which a lot of people have been very touched by, it would seem. Back, actually, unfortunately, to bills going up for you out there. Families face a rise of €40 in their electricity bills to cover the cost of upgrades to the power grid. It was announced yesterday. This is in the Mail. Dare I say, you could dip into that €636 million profits. The increase follows hikes of around €30 last year and €100 the year before. So that's a total of €170, which isn't actually, you know, you using an electricity. It's just additional costs. And more rises are expected in the next few years. The hike will come into effect from October 1st, even as electricity prices have risen by up to 80% over the past few years and are now the highest in the EU, according to Eurostat figures. So we're already paying the highest power. The highest bills now, an extra €41 for no service, not for no service, I want to choose my words correctly, for no power, you know, you're not drawing power. That's €41 that you're investing in the infrastructure. Arguably, you could say, to connect more big business to. But anyway, I don't want to rebel rouse or stir up, but it's just one of those warnings when you look through the papers and all it is you know, more bad news for the hard press. The Irish Times this morning, they're focusing on the situation in the Middle East. And we were talking to Lee about the price of oil. And notwithstanding the awful loss of life that has happened and continues to happen as well, not just in the Middle East, but in Ukraine too, particularly Russian casualties. Now, I know they started this, you could say, or if you wanted to say maybe they had to because of NATO and what have you, but I'm not getting into the politics of it for now. But the amount of young men primarily that, although a lot of them are from prisons and what have you, but the amount of young men being sent to the deaths on the front lines, both Ukrainians and Russians, but particularly Russians, you know, apparently your life expectancy as a Russian soldier, if you're sent to the front lines, 40 minutes or less, you know, you are being sent there to die effectively. But anyway, in the Middle East, the only ray of hope is there's midterms coming up in the United States and Donald Trump will be looking for a win. He needs something because the American people don't want to be involved in foreign wars. They never have, and that's why they voted for Trump to a great extent. US-Saudi strikes on Iran-backed militia targets in Iraq have pushed the region into uncharted territory, threatening a further escalation of the conflict and rattling energy markets. The renewed and accelerating violence from Washington and Tehran risks a return to full-blown war, while the involvement of Saudi Arabia and militant groups also threatens to plunge the Middle East into a wider regional conflict. If it expands, it's a major problem because you can't keep a lid on that. The Farmers Journal out today, of course. Government budget advisors have put the spotlight on wealthy non-farmers buying up agriculture land to reduce their inheritance tax bills ahead of Budget 2027. The Interdepartmental Tax Strategy Group scoped out the possibility of slapping new restrictions on who can purchase farmland in a bid to ensure the rich pay their fair share. I didn't know about this, and why would I? It seems to be a little bit of a workaround. Some people are buying agricultural land to avoid inheritance tax. They've spotted it, though. The government have spotted it. And finally, moody and stressed, you could be addicted to apps. Or maybe you're moody and stressed because you want to get on your app and people won't stop talking to you. Is that a reality in 2026? Heavy internet users are grumpier, more stressed and more tempted than other people, a study show. Now, I will say, and this is by the by, Caroline was never off the internet. They also report greater neglect of other activities than those who surf the web sparingly. Problematic usage of the internet is defined by using apps such as gaming, gambling, pornography, social networks and online shopping excessively and to the point of functional impairment or distress. All right, okay. We are joined on the programme now by Hugh Harper, father of Leona Harper. Leona was amongst 10 people who were killed in that devastating, tragic explosion at a service station in the Chrysler, in Chrysler, on the 7th of October 2022. Hugh, thank you very much for joining us after your meeting with Aunt Taoiseach yesterday.
Thank you, Greg, for having me.
Are we any further forward? The call has been for the longest time for a statutory inquiry to run alongside the Garda inquiry, if necessary, to make sure all questions that need answers get answers. Now, from my reading of it, Hugh, it sounds to me like the Taoiseach really has reiterated that at the end of the criminal process, if there are still unanswered questions, you know, maybe then we need an inquiry. Or Is it more positive than that?
Well, the government and the Taoiseach are still holding firm on the fact that they don't want to see a public inquiry established just yet, because, and again, it's accepted that we don't want to see, and they don't want to see a criminal investigation put into jeopardy, you know, with any facts or any potential complications that would arise from that. But what came from that meeting yesterday, there was certainly an acceptance that there is going to be a vehicle of some description given to us that's going to unlock all the facts. When we talked to the Taoiseach yesterday, it came very clear to see that he certainly didn't understand the problems that we faced, and that even from his point of view, he wasn't even up to speed on, for example, the Gas Safety Amendment Bill. You know, when we put our concerns about that to him, he was so unfamiliar with it, they didn't know what we were talking about. So that element alone is quite concerning after what happened in Chrysler.
But just in relation to you can't be across everything. I think we all understand that. But did he pique his interest?
Yeah.
Did you get the impression that you educated him and he was like, okay, well, I need to get my team to look at that? Or was it just, oh, okay. You know what I mean? I'm kind of asking you to read the room, but I'm just curious, was that information he welcomed and you felt he might do something with it?
I think that he accepted that information. He found that, and he accepted that that was something that needed to have attention drawn to it, that he needed to, I suppose, to educate himself more on the points that we had raised. There was more that in the room that was said, and I suppose it would be irresponsible of me just a moment to go into that in finer detail. But he certainly was interested. He wrote notes. He was very surprised and showed genuine concern to the problems and the situations that we addressed and presented to him. So even though we haven't come out of the meeting yesterday with the establishment of a major public inquiry, the acceptance and the acknowledgement that, okay, right, he understands that there's more to this now than just a criminal investigation, that the legal teams there directly pointed out to him that the criminal investigation is just precisely what that means. And with the information and the presentation given to him yesterday by families and the legal representation that was there, that he has a much more clear picture of the problems that we are going to face, that the government are going to face. And that needs to be addressed sooner rather than later.
Let me ask you, are you, as a collective of families, or even you and Donna as a couple, accepting now that you're going to have to wait for the criminal process to conclude, however long that might take, before a decision is then made for a statutory inquiry? Because that has been a lot of what we've been speaking about over the last few months as pressure built up looking for this. We've heard from Sinn Féin and yourselves, of course, and others saying that, no, there is precedent. These two things can run side by side. That's what we want. The question I put to you now, Hugh, is do you accept that you'll have to wait now for the criminal process to conclude before there is talk of a statutory inquiry?
Well, that's a question that we're going to sit down as a group, and we'll run through that, and we'll see how everybody feels about that. But at the moment, as far as I'm concerned, as far as myself and Don are concerned, we're still going to push on for that public inquiry. I suppose the question that was raised by Damien Tansey yesterday is the tipping point. And that's a very good point that he had made. When is the right moment to raise this, or to establish this public inquiry? Is it in the interest of the government to delay it, or is it in the interest of the government to establish it as quick as possible?
Well, I suppose the question there in that regard is, Hugh, I mean, you sat there and you looked into the white of the Taoiseach's eyes. The question is, do you believe, is it your feeling that he genuinely feels that the criminal inquiry should be wrapped up before there is a statutory public inquiry? Or do you believe that he is nervous of what a public inquiry might unfold? Like, the truth be told, if he's not aware of some of the legislation as it relates to gas that you've already mentioned. He certainly can't be complicit in a cover-up that may try and cover that up, if that makes sense. So, you know, the point is what do you believe? Is he genuinely of the view and has the advice that a public inquiry can't really successfully run beside a criminal inquiry, or are the government trying to cover their backs?
Well, I think that's his opinion, you know, and his opinion is, from what I can read, is based on what Jim O'Callaghan is stating. You know, so I think there's an indifference there of what he really thinks. It's hard to read, but it always falls back on the criminal investigation, the inquest, and the fact that they don't want to prejudice the case. I can't truly and honestly put my hand on my heart and say that everything that we presented to them yesterday was taken in judgment of, okay, we accept now that we need a public inquiry. They're going to go away and they're going to have their talks. They're going to go away and think about what needs to be done in regards to the changes that we need to see coming. Yeah. So I suppose there's a time frame here now between us, government, and the legal representation that can, I suppose we have a window of opportunity here and a small window of time. So we're going to let them go.
What would have been very useful, personally speaking, and maybe some middle ground, is if they committed to looking at any legislative gaps or any loopholes in terms of, what is it, grandfather rules and that kind of stuff that could be closed.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
In other words, right, if you could have taken that away with you, maybe the pill of having to wait for the public inquiry would have been easier to swallow. You know, because I think you can decouple the public inquiry and any gaps in current legislation, can't you? But do you get where I'm coming from? And I think that could have been some middle ground that could have, you know, well, you could have advanced the campaign, but also maybe been convinced to wait a little longer.
We did raise them issues with them. And, you know, the fact that there's a grandfather clause in the Gas Safety Amendment Bill, I put it to him personally that I want to see that removed, that nobody will benefit from that clause, not the government, not the public. If this is going to leave networks, safe networks, non-licensed networks, allowed to operate outside the new amendment. Again, he reiterated that he didn't really know much about it, that he needed to go back and examine it, needed to go back and talk to his ministers in regard to that. But he certainly acknowledged that the request that was put forward to remove that grandfather clause was necessary.
And finally, Hugh, have you any concern that a public statutory inquiry could compromise potentially the criminal investigation? Like, is there any part of you that has a concern that could happen?
None whatsoever. These types of inquiries, when you sit down and you talk to the people that are more knowledgeable than me about this, and they explain how the system works, the terms of reference alone, an agreement of how this public inquiry moves forward, cannot interfere with the Garda investigation.
Okay. Hugh, listen, thanks for your time this morning. I appreciate it. We really
Thank
do.
You, Greg.
That
Thank
is
you,
Hugh Harper, father of Leona Harper, was one of those that died in that blast on October 7th of October 2022. And we will never forget any of them. Robert Garway and his daughter, Shauna Flanagan Garway, Leona, as I've just mentioned, Hugh Kelly, Jessica Gallagher, Martin McGill, James O'Flaherty, Martina Martin, and Catherine O'Donnell and her son, James Monaghan. We will never forget any of them. I want to say a big congratulations to a great friend of the show, Garda Grainne Doherty, because believe it or believe it not, the Letterkenny Chamber has announced that the June Employer of the Month is Garda Grainne. She had a huge, firstly, she was nominated in recognition of her outstanding commitment, professionalism and the positive impact she's had on the community she serves. Her dedication to going above and beyond and making a difference every day made her a worthy winner of this month's award. She gets a €100 Shop LK gift card and becomes a finalist now in the Employee of the Year category at the Letterkenny Chamber of Commerce Awards 2026. They're taking place on the 6th of November. I'm sure she's incredibly embarrassed and humbled by it because it's just not within her personality. I wouldn't have thought to jump for joy at a personal achievement like this, but it is a wonderful achievement. And it was public that voted as well, which I think is fantastic as well. So well done to Grania. Caroline, that call's not answering, or I'm not sure if Shannon wants to check that out either, but that call's not answering there. On the issue of Creasa, those people need answers and should not have to wait like the Stardust families. Indeed, that's the thing, isn't it? And we're in the moment now, right? We're in the moment whereby it is relatively recent. Look how far on other families are in trying to get justice. You know, people die before that justice or before those answers are gotten. We don't have to wait that long, do we? That being said, there are two schools of thoughts. There are those that believe that the public inquiry can run alongside the criminal investigation, and those that believe they can't. And I don't know the exact answer to that. I can just platform both. Caller says, what about the sacrilege committed at the Shrine of Medjugorje recently, where hundreds of Donegal pilgrims visit each year? I'm not familiar with that. Caroline did mention it to me, but anytime anything is desecrated, it is completely and utterly unacceptable, of course. On the climate, Greg, the EU and Ireland have actively been depopulating and restricting the grazing of these hill areas, causing the grass and gorse to get out of control. Then they blame it on climate change. If farmers were allowed to graze these areas the way they should be, these fires would still occur, just with much less destruction. It's common sense. That's their view. I don't know the ins and outs, but it's certainly could be true. But we appreciate the caller for getting in touch with us there. Aaron Moore are the only voluntary fire service here in Donegal. We have a voluntary fire... They are not the only voluntary fire service here in Donegal, they say. We have a voluntary fire service here in Meva. We've been doing so since 1980. We were the first voluntary fire service in County Donegal. Now, I don't know the ins and outs of that, to be honest with you. I do know, though, that they do great work there, as you can imagine. Right, Aaron Moore Fire Service. Well said by John Boyle. Donegal County Council have to get their act together. That comes in from John Joseph Sharkey. Hi Greg, I hope you don't mind me texting you. I'm living in a council house in Letterkenny just down the road from Highland Radio, Oran Hill, Fox Hills. A few weeks back, we had our homes painted by Donegal County Council, which was greatly appreciated, and a great job, they say, was done. My concern is we have an entrance wall to our estate with the name of the estate that was not painted. We've been in contact with the council to ask why this wall has not been painted, and the council have replied back to say that the wall does not belong to them, and that's why they haven't included it. I'm confused to how they came to this decision, and if it's the wall into the entrance of the estate, why is it not part of the estate for the sake of a bit of paint? For the sake of a bit of paint it would take to finish. Well, we asked the council and we got an answer. The council recently painted a number of local authority-owned properties at Oran Hill and Fox Hills, Letterkenny, under our annual painting programme. There is a wall running along the road leading to the entrance of Oran Hill and Fox Hills, which is located on privately owned lands. The council is therefore not in a position to undertake the painting on property which is not in council ownership. And that might not be a very satisfactory answer. And you might say, well, that doesn't make sense. But it is what it is. And the council can't be going on to people's private property and painting. I think we understand that. So there you go. Maybe people can get together and do it themselves locally, or maybe even the council would supply the paint. I don't know. But as I say, they're not going in to paint private property. That's just the way it is. Back to the Aran Moor Fire Service. There is an online campaign, SOS Save Our Station, for the support to retain the fire brigade service on Aran Moor Island. If you can please mention it on your show, thank you. Yes, and you can search that out. The council's position is though, that they are retaining the full complement of voluntary firefighters. We're still waiting for a follow-up as to what the situation is in relation to replacing the paid firefighters. People like to highlight evictions involving greedy landlords, but they forget that many court evictions are a result of greedy family members in inheritance cases, evicting blood relatives for high house market prices. Holy Highland isn't as holy when it comes to these people. Money, they say, is their God. Is it not clear at this point that I don't have anyone to speak to, Caroline? Because we're 10 minutes into this and I feel quite isolated here because I'm waiting for a guest to be put in. Just to give you a bit of background to the reality of presenting a live show. We were also talking yesterday, of course I did, and I've did that 5 times, Caroline. thank you very much, or else I wouldn't be saying it. we're not arguing, by the way, it's only a bit of crack. In relation to Downing's, I'll come back to Downing's in a second because they've put in some measures for this weekend. I am joined by my next guest now. That is Kieran Rorty, owner of Rorty Shop in Dunluce. Good morning to you, Kieran. How are you keeping?
Good morning, Greg. We're keeping very well, yeah.
Busy weekend ahead, isn't there? You have your charity country music show. Is it a one-day show? Takes place on Monday, is that right?
It's a one-day show. It takes place on Monday. And this is our 6th year now, and we started it off. My mother-in-law passed away in the Donegal Hospice in 2020, so the family decided to do something for the hospice that time. And we initially thought it'd be 1 year, but it was such a big success that this now is the 6th year, and we brought Daniel on, and it's just got bigger and bigger. I think we have gathered 130,000 for the charity so far. And this year we're expanding it a wee bit. We're donating this year to the Kevin Bell and to the Donegal Hospice and the Donegal Cancer Flights and Services.
And, you know, you're not cutting any corners on performers either because you're asking people to be generous, but look what you're giving them in return. Daniel O'Donnell, Margot, Connor O'Donnell, John and Diane Cannon, Shuni Crampsey and the Clan McRury. I mean, that is some lineup, isn't it? All packed into 1 day of pure entertainment.
Yeah, we have a great lineup, and all these artists are doing it for nothing. So we have to say a very, very big thank you from everybody here for doing that. That's their living, and they're doing this for nothing. So it's very much appreciated. And on the day too, this year, Colin Bell and Etna Bell are coming in along. They're the founders of the Kevin Bell Repatriation Trust, and they're coming to speak to us here and let us know what they're doing and what they have done. And they have a connection here with Dunluce. Kevin Bell used to attend the Irish College here when he was a young fella in Dunluce.
Excellent. Okay, it all kicks off at 2, so yeah. It's for all of the family. A great way to round off the long weekend.
Yeah, as I said, it kicks off here at 2 o'clock. Weather permitting, we'll be outside. But hopefully the weather forecast isn't too bad. And if the weather takes a turn for the worse, we'll be moving to the theatre and then at Coishlaugha. But hopefully we won't have to do that. And it's kicking off at 2 o'clock with Clan McRury. They're playing till 2:30. And then we're presenting the Brennan family with recognition and why Brennan Bashir's been helping us for the last 2 or 3 years. Mm. So we're going to present them with a token acknowledging what Moya has done for us. And then we have John and Diane Cannon, and then Connor and Shuni Cramsey, Margot, and then we finish off the last hour with Daniel.
Brilliant stuff. thank you so much.
Hopefully the weather will hold up.
Hopefully. But you know what? Yeah. And I don't mean this funny. I don't mind the rain as much when it's warm, and it is warm at this time of year. But anyway, you've got fantastic facilities locally if you need to go indoors, which is good as well. Well done, Kieran. And just to remind people, it's supporting the Donegal Hospice, Donegal Cancer Flights and Services, and the Kevin Bell Repatriation Trust. And there isn't a townland in the county that has not been impacted by the services provided by either of those three. That's just the reality of it. And it's lovely as well that you've got Kevin and Ethna. They are two beautiful people. So it's going to be a great day all round, Kieran. The very best of luck with it. And hopefully, I'm sure the crowds will be huge.
Thank you very much, Craig.
Bye-bye. You look after yourself. I had the pleasure of a chat with Kevin and Ethna Bell a couple of weeks ago on the Greg Hughes podcast, just in case you missed it. And that's available for you on the Highland Radio website, or just search the Greg Hughes podcast. And it's just at a nice time in their lives. But do you know what actually was really was lovely in that chat with them was hearing about Kevin the amazing character that he was, and the awful tragedy of losing him. But the acceptance by Kevin and Ethla that their loss was part of a greater plan to create the Kevin Bell Repatriation Trust, which has helped 2,500 Irish people come home. And then, of course, you can extrapolate from that the amount of people it's benefited at a very difficult time. And they are brilliant people. And they're not retiring from the Kevin Bell Repatriation Trust, but they have staff in there to have a little bit more time for themselves and for Kevin to go up and down the country, appearing at events and all that type of stuff. But anyway, my point being, get along to that festival on Monday. But also, if you want to learn more about and hear a chat with the Bells, well, then you can search the Greg Hughes podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Boy M5 performing live for us. They're setting up in studio as we speak. We'll be having a chat as well. But we're going to talk about tomorrow's Greg Hughes podcast. And our guest is the wonderful Mairéadh Mooney. Now, before the global tours, the world stage and the international acclaim of Alton, it all began with a shared passion, a fiddle and a flute. Here, Mairéadh Mooney looks back on the very beginning, the early recording days with her late husband, Frankie Kennedy, and how they shared their love for traditional music, and that set everything in motion.
He was into finesse. And, you know, to me, I would just play a tune. But I never actually thought about all these other things that happen within the note.
Mm.
You know, so this is a new thing for me. So to me, I was learning a lot. He was saying that he learned it from me, but I was learning so much from him as well, you know, all these other ideas coming in.
And at what stage then did you sort of form something together? I don't mean a relationship now, but musically. Because there was an early incarnation of a band, wasn't there?
Yeah, well, when I went to college then in Dublin, you see, when I was about 17, invited to play in the folk clubs there right away, because I'd be out in the sessions and somebody said, would you play in the tradition club down the road? And I said, yeah, you'll get a few pounds and keep you going. So Frankie and I started playing in the tradition club in Capel Street, which all the traditional musicians used to go. And you'd go in there, you might meet Seamus Ennis, who is one of the top collectors of traditional music, and he'd be there at the bar, or Liam O'Flynn or Don Lunny, or, you know, all these big names, they'd all be there. So it was a very hard place to play tunes and sing songs in front of. But it was a great grounding. And then you'd go other weeks and there'd be like all your heroes were singing or playing music. And I remember one night being there.
Did you feel like a bit, sorry, before you said it, was there a bit of imposter syndrome, or did you feel a part of this? You know,
I wanted to be a part of it, but I felt very, you know, I'm not worthy to be here, you know.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That's how. I remember Jackson Browne arriving in one night. And he was doing a big gig in the stadium, but he had a night off and he just wanted to hear real music. And we were all saying, there's Jackson Browne there, you know, mad. And like that happened a few times where well-known people would just arrive into this small, dirty old place on Capel Street and upstairs and sit and listen to the music.
Mm.
And it was great. It was encouraging too that people that you looked up to from another genre of music would come and listen to traditional Irish music.
But it obviously had a fantastic reputation. It might not have the best aesthetics as you describe it, but it obviously was seen as a hotbed of talent.
Oh yeah, that's where you'd go to hear the music, the real stuff, the real bar, the raw bar, as they'd say. But like I that happened to me as well when I went to New York to listen to jazz. I wanted to hear the best jazz. And you go into these little danky, dinky little places, you know, where, to hear jazz being played by the best musicians in New York. So like it makes sense, you know, you don't really care what the surroundings are like as long as you hear the good music.
Do you know, if you go to the likes of, and I don't want to sort of look down on anyone, and we'll pick up your career in a moment, but I was down in Dublin recently and I was trying to, and it's because I don't know, but there's this presentation of our music and even to some extent people putting on, you know, Arabagara accents and stuff. Are there still places like that which you describe nowadays? Because unfortunately, most of the people that visit here, they get some sort of a sanitized commercial version of our culture, really.
Yeah, they get a kind of a diluted river dance come Paddy come, you know. You know, what was that film that they did years ago, like with all the leprechauns and everything? They get a diluted version of that. Like a lot of young musicians are making a lot of money around the Temple Bar area putting on a show. But if you really want to hear the right music, there are a few pubs in Dublin that I would go to, the Cobblestones or the there's the Piper's Rest, and you know, where you hear the music in its raw state without the big, you know, the big fanfare.
Yeah.
And there's no chat. It's just play music. And you might be lucky, you might hear the best music, you know. And I've been to a few of these sessions recently and they're just amazing. Mm. Loads of young musicians. But my favorite type of session is about 4 or 5 people playing, not 100 people playing.
I'm
not into it being 20 musicians because you can't talk to them. Part of the session is to chat and where did you get that tune? And, oh, would you play it again till I learn it? Or, you know, that's to me the best part of the session.
Yeah, I'd say it's amazing. I feel so jealous not to be in this set.
Yeah.
So at what point then did you and your brother and Frankie form a band?
Well, it was, you know, it was out of demand, really. You know, people would say, would you come and play here? Would you come and play there? And there was a competition up in the north, and we formed a band with a friend of ours from Newry as well, Donal O'Hanlon, and Garage, my brother, on the guitar, and Frankie and I. And we won this up in County Down, and it was what we felt great, you know. We said, ooh, we won, you know, this folk competition. And then before that, we won the Letterkenny Folk Festival.
That's right, yes. Oh,
that's when I was really young.
That's what you're about to reference.
Oh, no,
it.
No.
I thought that
actually
was the big time.
No, yeah, well, there was more than Garrett there. Yeah. There was my cousin Margaret Denny, Margaret Gallagher on Baran, and there was another Belfast man, Frankie McAlla. He used to play the accordion in Hootie Bugs all summer long. Actually, Frankie Kennedy wasn't there at all. And myself and Terry McIntyre from Ballyshannon, who worked in the, he was a manager in the industrial estate, and he played the fiddle and he still plays the fiddle. And we had a great night and we got 500.
That was in Letterkenny.
I know, it was fabulous. We felt wonderful. And we got a record deal out of it, which was fantastic.
Yes.
The record never came out.
Why not?
I don't know.
Did you play regularly together or did you just gather up musicians for this performance?
Well, we played in sessions in Hootie Bugs, really. You know, Patrick Hootie Bug was part of it as well. So, like, it was just the crowd that used to play sessions in Hooties. But we felt great. We went back to Hootie Bugs that night and bought drinks all around us.
Fantastic.
I think we spent the 500 euro and
that night. Well, 500 is considerable.
Oh, that was a lot that time. No, we kept some people said, I'll be able to buy shoes now. So
Yeah. Ragarn was that band then that you did with Frankie then, isn't it?
Yeah, Ragarn, yeah. Ragarn.
And so, was Enya in that for a time as well?
No, she came later when we were actually making our first album for Gaelin. And Nicky Ryan, who died just last year, he was Enya's manager and producer. So I had met him through Clonid many, many years before that. And he says, if you are ever making an album, I want to engineered and produced it.
Yes.
So when we were asked by Gaelin to make the album, soon after we were married, I think it must have been 81. Don't ever ask me the dates.
Sadly,
of these
I
things.
I have all the dates. Here, but...
You remind me of the Japanese.
I know. You have an intense interest in you and your life. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway,
it was 83, the first album.
So anyway, so Nicky came in and we were making this album, and it was mostly kind of unaccompanied, and I had my brother playing, and then Kieran Corn, who ended up in Altan, and it was going really well, and I had a song, and I said I'd really love a nice low drone under this, and he says, sure, I'll get Enya. And I said, oh, would you mind coming in? So Enya came in. She wasn't well known at all at the stage, but she was working on her music. And I was saying, I was really thanking her. And we wanted to pay her. She wouldn't take a penny because we're neighbors. We're neighbors. Why would I do that? Like we were so delighted that she, and she did a great job with it.
Yes, that is the legendary Mairéadh Mooney reflecting on the early beginnings of her career, the early stages of Altan, just casually dropping in there that superstar that is Enya just came in and did a bit of session work with them. Beautiful chat. She's a wonderful, wonderful person. The full conversation is available for you on the Greg Hughes podcast, released on the Highland Radio website tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. And also you can just search wherever you get your podcasts. And if you want to watch that interview, by the way, you can just search out the Greg Hughes podcast on YouTube and you'll find it there, and you'll get to see the full chat as well. So there you go. Now, we have a real treat for you, because we have in studio with us, we have Boy M5. Kyle, good morning to you.
Hey, yeah, how's it going?
Thank you so much for joining us. How are you keeping?
All good. It's an exciting week for us musically. We've got a new single coming out tomorrow, big gig on Sunday. So, yeah, it's a good week.
So introduce the band to us, Kyle.
So I'll go from my left. So this is Nairi Porter on bass. In the back, we have Nigel Higgerty on drums, and to my right, that you can't currently see, but they exist, it's Kiva Bell on keys.
Well, I can see Kiva because we've got a camera in there as well, just so you all know that the drummer starts picking the nose, you know, we have to be careful. Right, so there's a big gig coming up in the College Bar in Letterkenny, and it's kind of a return to your spiritual home, isn't it? So it's an extra special gig. This is on Sunday, right?
Yes, it's on Sunday, and the Cottage really is our hometown gig. They've supported us over the years so much with Moonfest and with all the different things we've done down there, and Connell and Paddy and all the guys down there are just fantastic.
And it's to launch the new single, and we're going to hear the new single off the computer after we hear from you live, but talk to me about the new track.
So the new track, it's been in the works for a while. It's basically about trying to explain to someone that you love quite how much you love them. Like when they don't quite get it and you're like, no, you are my person. You are everything. Mm-hmm. So it's really just a way of trying to explain that and explaining that you've got them with all your heart.
So in a way, you're doing a public service, because if you do feel like someone like that in real life, right, you can just put the track on and say,
yeah,
listen to that.
Share the track.
So you're doing great work here.
He's earning brownie points at home.
Yeah, indeed. Come here. It's not just yourselves, though, that are performing. You've got some fantastic support as well.
Yes, we also have Seventh Heaven from Derry. A bunch of young lads that I came across a couple of years ago when they were maybe 15, 16. They came to record a song with me, and just unbelievable musicians, like for their age, just fantastic. And then we have Blue Creek, which are some local boys, and they're just a really, really fun band as well.
Brilliant stuff. Well, listen, we'll talk more. We're going to hear you perform live as well. And we're going to hear the track Hide and Seek. Talk to me a little bit about this, Kyle.
So Hide and Seek came out a few years ago. I think I was up with the Monday Night Sessions team when it came out. Hide and Seek was actually, it was written about my wife having anaphylactic shock. So this was during COVID and she'd been prescribed some medication she was allergic to. But yeah, it was just writing about that night and that experience. And like a lot of the songs, they're written about my wife.
Yeah, I'm fascinated to hear how you're going to factor in anaphylactic shock into a track with drums and guitars and keys and synth and everything. Okay, well, that's Kyle O'Neill. By the way, we're going to reiterate the gig and all that stuff. The Boy M5, they really are actually lovely people as well as incredibly talented. And they are returning to their spiritual home, the Cottage Bar in Letterkenny. It's a special night. It's a single launch night. And it's on Sunday, the 2nd of August. And they have great support, Seventh Heaven and Blue Creek as well. And admission to the launch night is free of charge and it kicks off at 8:30. What a fantastic way to spend your Sunday. And if you have a couple of lemonades, you can put your feet up on the Monday. What else would you be at? All right, Boy M5, this is Hide and Seek Live.
Thank you.
Greg, if you don't mind. I'd like to give everybody a little introduction again.
Brilliant stuff, absolutely fantastic. It's brilliant to see the rock flag being flown so high and proudly too by Boy M5. We need it, you know. We heard just before 10 o'clock, Raidney Mooney, who's just the queen of trad and internationally renowned, and that's fantastic. And we also need the likes of Boy M5 out there showing our diversity and our range. And it was great that you all shot up for a bit so we could hear the drums, my favourite drum. I'm only messing.
Sorry.
No, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. Is the synth element new, Kyle? Or was that always present?
Probably since the last time we've been here. Yeah, new.
Really adds.
It's always kind of been there, I suppose, Greg.
Yeah.
It's the first time we've been able to bring it in on a live setting.
Get you.
You know, we've always had that sort of thing there before. You know, live tracks and stuff, especially the recordings and stuff, you can add as much stuff as you want, like, but then bringing in the live elements just added a whole new dimension.
Just nice to hear that live. Maybe that's my naivety, because right, okay, so where else are you playing before we recap on this free gig on Sunday night? Have you any other gigs lined up? Or
on the 8th of August we are playing the Milford Festival on the main stage on the main street.
Might try and get along to that, actually. That sounds, I'd love to see you there. Yeah, fantastic.
Love to see you there. And then on the 28th of August, we are in Galway in the Old 55.
Brilliant stuff. Okay. And we have a ton of people down in Galway as well. But more imminently, get along to a fantastic night of music. It's a special launch night of Boy M5's new single. It's on Sunday night. And it is, where is it? It is in the Cottage Bar. That's right. The support is Seventh Heaven and Blue Creek. It's free to get in. And it's going to be just a cracking night. And we're going to hear the new single, Hot Off the Press, from our computer very shortly. Remind people about this single. It's about how do you express the love for someone.
Expressing how much you love someone.
And words are not enough. Is it unrequited or is it...
No, I think really the idea came from, you might remember Mountains that we played on your show a couple of years ago. So the joke with my wife was when we would sing I Tear Down Mountains for You, I'd always say, you're the you know.
Oh.
Every time. And
where's
yeah,
my sick bucket?
That itself,
like, it's wonderful,
just,
but you're just shaming me. Like, I can't be so romantic.
I'm a songwriter, Greg.
Nigel, what's your review of that last statement?
I play what Kyle wants me to play. Nobody really wants to care what the drummer thinks.
Hey, I'm trying to shine the spotlight to you back there, and you're just batting it off. Listen, thanks so very much, Nairi Porter on bass too. I loved your solo. It was absolutely beautiful. Kiva Bell on keys and synth. We have Nigel Hegarty on drums, and of course Kyle O'Neill. Collectively, they are Boy M5, and we're going to play their new single, which is, when can listeners sort of start listening to it? When's it released formally?
Well,
if not already.
If tomorrow morning, before they tuned into Highland, they fancied going on to Spotify or wherever they listen to their music and give it a quick stream and a save before they tune into your show, of course, Greg. But it'll be available from tomorrow morning.
But we're going to have one of the first plays of it right now, aren't we?
You guys are the world exclusive.
Oh, wow. Listen, I really, when Caroline mentions that you're coming on, I always look forward to it because, as I say, these are lovely people and fantastic artists as well. And here is the brand new single from Boy M5, You Are The You.
The long nights when you're feeling low, and the long days watching TV shows. Know what I want, it's you that I want to know. Don't worry, we can take it real. Now I'm using love as an alibi. I'm falling off, but I don't feel like flying. I'm trying hard, you know I can't be trying. You gotta know that your love makes me so scared and dying.
Now, check them out. Sunday night in the College Bar. It's a free gig. They officially launching that single. And Blue Creek, Seventh Heaven are also appearing. Admission is free. And also in Milford on the 8th, if you want to see them up on the big stage live. Okay, really appreciate that. A lot of effort went in to set all that up. And appreciate Joe Dex coming in early for him, it has to be said, to help out on sound. Right, it's time for this.
Business Matters is brought to you by Print Supplies Frosses. Fed up waiting days for an engineer to service your printer or photocopier? Tired of running out of ink? Print Supplies keeps your office running smoothly with managed print solutions, local Donegal support and remote monitoring. With 21 years in business, Print Supplies helps save your business time and money. Email sales at printsupplies.ie to find out more.
Yes, indeed. Chris Ashmore joins us. Hi, Chris. Good to see you.
Good afternoon or good morning, Greg.
No, indeed. Listen, come here. Who's coming up on the show this week?
Well, this week I've been speaking to John Doherty from Cool Boy, just outside Letterkenny. Now, he spent many years working abroad in the trades and then in Dublin, and then he decided to come home and set up his own business, New Look Property Maintenance. Now he employs 7 people, he's 3 vans on the road, he's expanding all the time, and he came into studio to talk to me about his business so far, and he's very positive about the outlook for Donegal, and he also believes, in particular, there'll be considerable opportunities for those who have a trade, very passionate about his business. And we have a little clip here, Greg, when he just explains about how he came back from Dublin and made that leap of faith to go out on his own.
And one evening I just says, you know what, I'm going back to Donegal. I had this in my head for a long time, the maintenance side of things. And I had a lot of good contacts here. A lot of my friends were in positions where they could be recommending you and stuff. So we started New Look Property Maintenance with very little. Out of the boot of my car, 2004 Skoda Octavia, and a load of determination, right. You know, and a lot of doubt from people. You know, you're leaving a good job. Why would you do this? And you know, sometimes, I turned around and said, "Then what's the worst? If this fails, I can always go back to the job I was doing." Mm. You know, so if they were classing that as, you know, you're taking this big, it wasn't a risk for me because I knew worst case scenario, I can always go back and do what I was doing before.
Yeah, indeed. And I think that I'm interested in people that do this type of work, Chris, because I don't have the finances to do anything significant. But these guys and other businesses like them that can come into your property and make a big difference on a lower budget. And I think that's another element of why they've proven successful. Just me as a regular punter would be my take on that.
Yes, and you know he's built up a good rapport, a lot of customers, from small jobs to big ones. He's won contracts with some quite big organizations in the public sector. And look, given the amount of housing that we need in this county, the future certainly looks bright for him. He's got a good team alongside him, not afraid to put in that hard shift and always giving, you know, the customer just going that extra mile. And he's a very upbeat, positive guy, and that in itself, that also helps things. And he's not shy when it comes to putting up his own video clips, going out doing the jobs and promoting the whole business. And certainly it was it was a small risk, he feels, but it's one that's paid off.
All right. Some news here. Local firms. I think in this day and age, if you want to be successful, you have to have your physical presence, but also your digital presence.
Absolutely. Now, the Donegal Local Enterprise Office, they run a scheme. It's called the Grow Digital Voucher. Now, if you aren't online, this could be an opportunity. It's geared towards businesses that employ up to 50 people, and you get support to effectively embrace all the digital technology out there. It could mean developing a website. There's a grant of up to €5,000 or 50% of the eligible cost. So well worth checking that out. And you can contact the local enterprise office if that is of interest to you.
We gave this a brief mention earlier. We've learned the identity of the Letterkenny Chamber Employee of the Month. Whom is it? Reveal it again for us, Chris.
Yes, indeed. Gráinne Doherty, Garda Gráinne Doherty, who no stranger to your show, Greg, as she's been recognised for her commitment commitment, professionalism, and the positive impact on the community she serves. And I'm sure there have been a lot of people congratulating her on getting the Letterkenny Chamber June Employee of the Month Award. For that, she gets a €100 Shop LK gift card and will be a finalist in the Employee of the Year category at the Letterkenny Chamber Business Awards in November.
All right, okay. She's got €100 in her back pocket. AIB doing somewhat better. They don't have quite the recognition of the Employee of the Month, but they're not short of a few bob. I heard them someone trying to play down their profits, that they weren't meeting expectations, but they've grown year on year, and it's a tidy sum.
It sure is. I heard you talking about it at the top of the show, Greg. If you just look at the last 6 months to the end of June, $939 million after-tax profits, over $2 billion for the full year. The figures are, you know, pretty mind-boggling to most people. Their lending increased by 10%. So that's a sign of the economy going well, to some €7.5 billion. They employ over 10,000 people. It's certainly a hugely profitable bank. You know, those figures, when you break it down, they're probably earning in the region of, what, 5-6 million euro profit a day.
Not bad. And interesting, I think something like 64% of their mortgages are for high energy efficient homes as well, which is an indicator of how things are changing. Don't forget, thanks very much, Chris, by the way. There's a slight delay on the line, so I'll give the details. The podcast is available for you a little later today for you to stream at your leisure, as they say in the United States of America. You can also listen to it on the radio after the 6 o'clock news on Sunday. If you want to email Chris, businessmatters@highlandradio.com. Is it businessmatters@highlandradio.com? Right. Shall I plug our podcast again, Caroline? Why not? Because tomorrow at 11 o'clock, we release the 31st or 32nd episode of the Greg Hughes podcast. It's the sister podcast to this show. And our guest, as you heard earlier on, is Mairéadh Ní Mooney. Last week's guest, Mary Coughlan. We've had Mickey Joe Hart on. We've had Gary Jennings on. We've had all manner of different people on. And it's a cracking opportunity for us to have a long form conversation with someone. Before the break, Noel was on to say that baby Harley Rose says hi to her daddy Nigel, who was on drums with Boy M5. Isn't that lovely? Harley Rose is 3 months old, though, so I think Mum might be stretching it a bit, maybe. Although Hudson was watching me at 3 or 4 months old. We're going to join the fun at the Mary from Dunloe International Arts Festival tomorrow. The show is live from Sweeney's Hotel on the Main Street in Dunloe. It's an early start, but feel free to come along. We've got some fantastic entertainment lined up for you and great conversation as well. Ellie Ward, who's the current Mary, her reign comes to an end on Sunday. She's in studio. She's going to sing a couple of songs live for us. One in particular I'm looking forward to hearing, it has to be said. We also have Kevin Lachlan performing live. We have the Hopeful Kind singing for us. And we have Aidan O'Donnell, and we're going to be chatting to Mary Kennedy and Barra Best, two of the judges. Susan Doherty is going to be playing for us live. We're going to talk to the escorts to see what it's like for them. And Gavin Boyle will be in studio with us as well to tell us how things are going. So it's going to be a cracking show. Tune in for that tomorrow between 9 and 11. And don't forget, as always, it's a very visual program. You can watch it on YouTube or on Facebook. Now, this is it, the exciting time. It is summer, which means just one thing. The summer, it's raining. And the summer cash draw, it's back. Sean Quinn, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. I've come in the door here with a whole pile of money to give away.
You have indeed. And we're talking about our big summer cash draw. It is back.
It is.
How much money are we talking? Talk about the Benjamins.
€20,000, Greg.
Answers. Okay, lovely.
20,000. So it's, I think this is our fourth year. It grows from strength to strength every year. So I've changed it a little bit this year. I'm spreading it over more shows. And you're now going to have 6 chances to win up to €20,000.
All right. Okay. So when are tickets available?
Right now. You can buy them on highlandradio.com. They're live as we speak. You can ring into the station here on 07491 25000, if you're not too good on computers. So it's ready to go. And what I would say is, buy early because obviously you've got six chances to win this year. Last year you had five chances, so you've now got six chances. So there's €2,000 for every draw, and then the big one will happen on the 4th of September where you can have a chance to win €10,000 on your show.
Yes. Now, so listen, anyone who buys a ticket is always in for all of the prizes, but the only way you're actually in all of the prizes in this instance, if you get the ticket before the first draw.
Yeah.
Right. So if you want to have a chance of winning two grand, and then 10, the way you do that is you get your tickets nice and early. It's an open draw. The first ticket sold could be the winning ticket. We simply don't know. Such is the nature of the draw. But what I will say, and I'll reiterate this, and I hope you don't mind showing me doing so, there's lots of competitions out there where you buy tickets. And they cross countries. They cross multiple radio stations, whatever it might be. This is a draw for us listening here to Highland Radio. And that's who enters. That's why all of our winners so far, and it's not exclusive. You can buy a ticket in Tyrone or Sligo, don't get me wrong. But as far as I'm aware, all of our tickets so far winners have been from Donegal. And when you look at the odds, they're very favourable, even when you compare it to match four plus the bonus on the lotto. That's the type of numbers we're talking here. I don't know the ins and outs of it, but I just know the amount of tickets sold versus your chance of winning. And it's very favourable, even compared to a €50 win on the lotto, which is fine in and of itself. Don't get me wrong, but I just want to emphasise we're not doing this on this station, and it's not also being done on eight other stations at the same time.
Absolutely.
This
not.
Is your Highland Radio big summer cash draw. The first draw is on Friday, the 14th. So how do people get tickets? Remind us again the cost of the tickets and all of that.
Yeah, so they're €15 for a ticket, or you can get five for €50. So they work out at €10 each. And the quickest and easiest way is highlandradio.com. Click on the image. It says enter the draw here. Answer a very, very simple question. And you can put other names on the tickets. So if you want to gift them to people, you can do that. And that's
that
a
happens
simple...
quite often, actually.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Someone bought five tickets and theirs is the winning ticket, which I always think is great, or someone that they named on them.
And then they wish they hadn't.
I don't know. I think you've made that commitment, most people. Yeah. And as Sean quite rightly pointed out, if you prefer to give us a call, 07491 25000, we'll help you out that way. And, you know, hundreds of people, well, dozens of people anyway, call up, because sometimes people prefer to use cash and we're available here in office hours, and one of our friendly staff will just type it all out for you, and there you go. You don't have to answer the phone to win. You don't have to answer a question to win. If your ticket comes out, you've won. So if you work in an office 9 to 5 and you can't have your phone, don't worry about that. You'll be getting notifications on your lunch break that your ticket come out and you won. So there is a million reasons why people should get involved. On Friday the 14th, €2,000 on this show, all very exciting. Around the Northwest, also 2K being given away on that Friday. So that's like Super Friday. And that's only a couple of weeks away, folks, 2 weeks tomorrow. The Jive Time on Friday the 21st, another 2,000. Anya and Danny will have 2,000 to give away in the home stretch. And then the Naughty Alarm Clock on Friday the 4th of September. And then...
That's definitely Super Friday, because today after...
That's right, okay, that is Super Friday, because I'm in big writing here.
You're 10,000
euro 4th of September on this show, which is fantastic.
Yeah, and it's always, you know what, it's kind of, it's a nice time to do it as well, Greg, because it's back to school, people are, you know, you've had your holidays.
Do you work in marketing? I don't want to talk about school.
No, but it is what it is.
You see your CEO hat's stuck on your head now. You can't get your marketing one back on.
Oh, it's never come off.
It never comes off. The CEO's just slightly tilted to one side.
there's a multifunction going on there somewhere. But do you know what? It's a lovely thing to do. I have to say also, last year we had a double winner. And this draw.
That was the thing that you always said, oh, we'll put the ticket back and it could be you. And I was like, oh, yeah, as if. And let me assure you, folks, we're old school, right? We're not using a Google thing where it spins around and a number pops out. We're old school. We literally, your ticket goes into a trombola, a draw drum, and it's shaken up. And it's shaken up every time there is a draw, and it's shaken up every time there isn't a draw. So it is pure chance that the same person could win twice, but it did happen.
It's, I suppose, sometime it had to happen.
It had, but yes,
yeah.
But
I only had a little smirk on my face when it did happen.
Years, yeah. But I've been quite gracious in admitting you were right and I was wrong, haven't I? I haven't really.
I must record that one.
No, I haven't tried to mitigate it. You were right, I was wrong. So, folks, what we're talking about here, it's our big summer cash draw, and it is back. And we've increased the amount of chances you have to win. 6 chances, in fact. The first draws take place on Friday, the 14th of August. So I suggest you get your tickets between now and then. And that means you buy your ticket today. That's it. You're in all the draws. You don't even, you know, you just sit there waiting for the phone call. That's it. You're in. So it's 2,000, 2,000, 2,000, 2,000, and then the big 10 as well. And as you quite rightly pointed out, back to school and all that kind of stuff and the cost and expense of that, it is a chance to... I would say you'll go, do what I do. You're walking to school barefoot. I'm going on Holly Bob's Hudson.
Yeah, you're not being allowed. Yeah. Also, the bills that you've had during the summer, that, you know, it just might help clear them.
So. But I like to think of this money as mummy and dad's money or granny's.
As go and do something mad with
money,
it.
Your money, yeah. You know, like try. Because a lot of us, the way it is if you put that money in, it gets subsumed and what's what. Keep it separate. Spoil yourself. I think you deserve it. You can get tickets from a tenner. 5 tickets for 50. A single ticket is 15. You know, you increase your chances with 5, but a single ticket might win it too. You simply don't know. On the website, we've made it... by the way, just to be clear, we have implemented every single measure there is to secure this process, by the way. So don't be fearful of online. It is very, very safe, very simple, very secure. You can click the link on our website right now, buy your tickets, and then you're in the draw. You'll get an email notification. If you prefer, though, you can give us a ring and we'll help you out over the telephone, 07491 25000. And failing all of that, if you're a cash is king kind of guy or girl, then you can call up to us during office hours and we can sort you out that way as well. Right, okay. Good stuff. The lines are open.
The lines are open. Yep. Buy your tickets and it's this makes some 6, hopefully 6 happy people, Jake.
Or 5. Weeks.
Or 5 or 4.
Or 4.
Or wherever way it goes. we're just open to all that now. But no, the very best of luck to everybody and thanks in advance to everybody that does support it. And as I said, it has grown from strength to strength over the last few years. So let's make it a mega draw this year again.
Any other news?
No, we're busy. We're busy, Greg. We were, like yourself, we were down in Dunloe yesterday. It was it's buzzing down
what
there.
What were you doing down in Dunloe yesterday?
The Jive Time was down yesterday.
Oh, yeah, of course it was. Yeah, that was so a big show, wasn't it? Yeah.
We'd over 400, which was great. It was a great day.
And it's not necessarily, per se, flagged as a... Like, we love people coming along, but it's not necessarily flagged as a live concert, so to speak, is it?
No,
so in other words, it's kind of a really organic crowd. We always welcome people along.
Absolutely.
But to get 400 through the doors... Really
it was brilliant. And Daniel was obviously there. He was... poor Daniel was tired because of the day before the tea party. But put on a great show and it's a great buzz
stand
down there.
Beside me.
We have a lot of things happening and coming up. We'll be launching our awards very shortly too.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is good.
Give us a quick reminder of the Ronald McDonald House. Did we get any wee peek in teams entering the golf competition?
Yeah, we're up to, we've over 20 teams already.
Okay.
Which is brilliant.
And what do we want it up to?
Oh, I'd love to get to 50.
Right, okay.
It'd be great if we can get to 50.
It's a cheap day out for golfers because you know the cost of it to play in a course maybe you're not familiar with or maybe you remember there. It's €50 per person.
Yeah, it's 200 for a team. Yep.
So that's your green fees, food and what have you, and good crack as well, loads of prizes. And you can actually qualify for a national golfing competition as well because there are a series of these events. So... just trying to get everything in whilst I have Sean in here. Yep. If you want to support that as well, play Dunfanny on August the... I'm not going to say a date because I've just been speaking to Boy in 5 and I've got other dates in my head.
Listen, if you hear, we've ads on as well. All the information. Yeah.
So in other words, get 4 people together, go along and enjoy
it. Enjoy or if you can't do it, you can donate as well.
Yeah, of course.
So, but no, that's great. We're looking forward to that. And then we have another couple of things coming up, which I'll keep quiet for now, but there's... watch this space. We've got something very exciting coming up in September.
In Highland?
Yeah.
What is it?
Can't tell you.
Well, is it what?
It's going to be something quite exceptional.
Well, like what? So,
it's something where I'm going to send people somewhere. But I don't. But I'm not going to say too much.
Okay, well,
that
we'll
yet.
Not say any more than that.
No, but it's going to be a.
If it's what I think it is, by the way, lads and ladies listening, it'll blow your mind. Actually,
yeah,
this one,
okay, absolutely
fantastic. Because I thought we're getting into the secret sound territory there. Is it?
Don't probe me anymore. Don't probe me, please.
I know you don't have the resilience. If I, I'll tell you the fact. Three more questions, and you would have launched it today.
No, I ran out that door, Greg.
No. Three more questions. I could have got it out of you. Right, okay. Hey, stay tuned for that in September. That one is a cracker. Get your tickets right now for the €20,000 big summer cash draw online, on the phone, in person. We have you covered every which way. The first draw is on Friday, the 14th of August, on this programme, and then on John's show. So get your tickets now, sit back, and you can win big. Just to let you know, tomorrow again, sorry to remind you, and sorry if it's a bit more light-hearted, the show today. It's the summer, isn't it? We're heading into a long weekend, and we're out and about tomorrow, and we're all cock-a-hoop with great live music with the launch of that draw. And tomorrow we are from the Sweeney's Hotel on the Main Street in Dunloe. We have a nice wee setup going on there. It's as part of the Mary from Dunloe International Arts Festival. We've got the reigning Mary, Ellie Ward, who's a talented singer, singing for us. She's going to kick off the show. Mr. Gavin Boyle, surely looking resplendent, will be giving us the festival weekend details. We'll be chatting to some local people living and working in the area. Who else is performing live for us? Kevin Lachlan. We've got The Hopeful Kind. We have Aidan O'Donnell. And we've got Susan Doherty, two of the people who will be helping to crown the new Mary. Judges Mary Kennedy and Barra Best will be in studio. I'm blessed to be amongst them as well as a judge. So looking forward to that as part of the weekend. Then the Clonmany Festival starts next weekend. That's going to be fantastic next week, sorry. The Downings Festival is on this weekend, and they've closed the beach for traffic and a one-way system, so you can all go out in the street and have fun. Isn't that nice for you all? Right, so we don't have a Friday panel tomorrow for you either, so please tune in. And just to remind you that you can watch the show in its entirety too, so that's great because you get to see me. And you get to see our guests and the live music. So check out YouTube. We're streaming live there. As always, Highland Radio Ireland, and on our Facebook pages as well. And of course, just to remind you one more time, Raidhne Mooney, the Queen of Trad, she is our podcast guest. That's released for you tomorrow after 11 o'clock for you to listen to whenever you like. By the way, stay tuned to the regular programming here in Ireland. We just have to pick a time, and that's that. Right, thank you for all of you, or to all of you, for listening and watching the program and texting in. Any messages we didn't get to, we will catch up on. So we're back tomorrow morning, live from Dunloe, from 9 a.m. Feel free to call into Sweeney's and say hello to us, by the way. But until then, stay safe and stay tuned.